Today on Real Radio,
we look at our God who is altogether humble, consistent, pure. He's faithful. He's the love of our lives. And finding him is finding everything.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his verse-by-verse series through Paul's first letter to the Corinthians. We've been camping on chapter 13 for a bit as Pastor Jack delivers a collection of studies called Finding the Love of Your Life, a four-part mini-series taken from this section of Scripture. Now, in verse 7, Paul lists four aspects of love, which, when taken together, teach us that no matter how desperate our circumstances might be, the perfect love that comes from the Almighty never gives up. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, now continuing his series called Finding the Love of Your Life.
We are not hoping Jesus comes back. That's like being a gambler and saying, oh, I hope I get the numbers or the grapefruit or whatever shows up on the thing. That's hoping like luck. A friend of mine the other day said, on the way to Sacramento, a friend of mine said, good luck to you, Pastor Jack. And I texted him back, my dear friend, luck will have nothing to do with what God is about to do. Luck! It's like the old Irishman that said, oh, the luck of the Lord be with you. The luck of the Lord be with me. That's gambling, my friend. No way. It is a hope that is absolute. It would better say this, while you and I, Titus 2:13, wait for the blessed, absolute, no doubt about, and certain revelation of Jesus Christ, we're not hoping Christ returns. He's coming. We're not guessing. Oh, he's coming. And so when we look at this hope, love is confident in all things, in all the things we're going through. This hope-filled love of God for us grants us this boldness. Here's a verse every one of us as believers must always remember. I am guessing now, I'm not certain if this is the number one verse, but it's got to be in the top three. Throughout my Christian life, I've repeatedly gone back to for boldness. It's Philippians 1:6. Does anyone not know that verse? Philippians 1:6, it is amazing. The word is being confident. Technically in the Greek, it's this word. Being. See, what does that mean? It means continually over and over again, never stop. You never have to doubt, never have to stop, never have to worry. About confidence. Listen, being confident of this very thing. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So watch, in this room, there are believers that are advancing. There are believers that are just holding the ground, surviving. There are believers right now in this room or listening right now that are backsliding. They're going backwards. What does the Bible say to us? Be confident of this very thing, that if he has begun a good work in you, I said if, I added that word if. You have to answer that. We say, how do I answer it? Answer this in the silence of your soul. If you're a seasoned believer, but you were once more in love or more effective or more bold in Jesus than you are now, you have slidden back, you're not advancing, you've recoiled, and the Bible says, hey, stand up, let's get moving, because what he started before, he wants to advance from that point. If a Christian is just surviving today, treading water, you're not going forward, you're not going back, you're surviving, he is saying right now, come on, let's go. Be confident in this very thing. I am completing the work that I started in your life. If you are backslidden far from God, then listen. Remember. Remember when you shared Jesus. Remember when you were crazy about him. Remember when you did this or that and it was all for Jesus. Get back to it. By whatever means necessary, get back to it. That's his heart. That's his desire. That's his will for you. In Psalm 138, verse 8, the Bible says, "The Lord will perfect, complete, bring to pass that which concerns me." What a great verse. What a great promise. This love that God has for us stays at the job and finishes it. Here's a great verse. The NIV Bible puts it this way, 1 John 2:28. "And now, dear children, continue in him, so that when he appears, we may be confident and unashamed before him at his coming." That is a reference to the rapture, not the second coming. That's awesome. You guys, in the second coming, for those of you who don't understand Bible prophecy, in the second coming, Christ comes with us out of heaven, Revelation 19 says. The rapture, he comes for us. He appears to take us. He appears in the atmosphere to receive us up to himself, John 14, 1, 2, and 3. So this is cool. Be confident. So what? If you're confident right now, not in you. I can do it. No. You and I cannot do it, but he can through us. That's why the Bible says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." You ever put your hand in the glove? You put your hand in that glove. It's like putting, listen, your faith in Christ, and you can be confident, and here's what happens. You don't have to worry at what moment he's coming. The Bible says he's going to come in an hour that you think not. The Bible says that he's going to come while the unbelievers or those living in sin will be caught unaware, not knowing, walking in the darkness. He'll come upon them as a thief. But Paul said to the church at Thessalonica, "But he will not come upon you as a thief, because you walk in the light." Think about that. As you're walking with Christ, as your life is inserted into him, and you're living your life, he will appear someday. And if he doesn't come in our lifetime, then we win anyway. To be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. And so that's a tremendous thing. We can be confident. We don't have to worry, because we're walking and living and breathing with him. This is a great example of this type of hope that we're speaking about here. It's in Luke chapter 7. Can you turn there if you would? Luke chapter 7. You can mark this portion of the chapter. I'll give you a few verses. It's a great thing to read later on today. A great example of this type of hope. Verse 37 says, "And behold, a woman in the city," or of the city, literally, "who was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at the table in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster flask full of fragrant oil." And listen, "stood at his feet, behind him weeping. And she began to wash his feet with her tears." You guys, this is pretty dramatic. "And wiping them," that's his feet, "with the hair of her head, and she kissed his feet." You don't do that in that culture. A woman does not touch a man in that culture. This woman's lost total control. She's absolutely lost control on this. Watch this. "She kissed his feet, anointed them with fragrant oil." Now, when the Pharisee, oh boy, "who had invited him saw this, he spoke to himself, saying, 'This man, if he were a prophet, he would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him, for she is a sinner.'" The word "sinner" here, listen to this. It means one who is devoted to sin. One who is devoted to sinful actions, to live for sin, to burn with lust for sin. A person fully given over to fleshly lust. It's often translated a notorious woman. This woman lived, dreamed, thought up, imagined, created, invented lustful, sinful acts. That's how big of a sinner she was. Jesus is sitting there with all these other high-ranking people of the community, and this woman cannot take it anymore, burst in upon him. She's weeping and pouring her dowry. That's what she would someday get married with, if anybody would marry such a woman, and she had probably been with every man in town. a notorious sinner. And she's touching Jesus' feet. She's crying. She's wiping his feet with her hair. And Jesus, I want you to read it later, issues to her forgiveness. This is a radical and awesome thing, because when the scripture tells us that she's a sinner, this is exactly what we're speaking about. We can go from bowing down at the feet of Jesus in our sin, no matter how great it is, being forgiven, and stand with all boldness if we would just believe his word. The Bible says, listen, if you doubt, if that's like one event, you know, Jesus, I can't see Jesus allowing that. Matthew 9:10 says, now it happened as Jesus sat at the table in the house that behold, many tax collectors, they were big sinners, and listen, what's implied is many sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples. Don't you love that? Before we leave this and end this message, I love it. Jesus is sitting at a table, his disciples are with him, the crowd is there, and these sinners. So imagine, Jack walks in there, he's heard that Jesus is there. He comes walking in, realizes there he is. Excuse me, pardon me. People, I'm asking people to pardon me because I'm going to go see Jesus. And people look and say, oh my gosh, that's a tax collector or a notorious sinner. Same word as the woman. Oh, notorious sinner. Excuse me. You don't have to say excuse me too long, I would imagine, because people would get out of the way. Let him pass. Don't touch him. He's a rotten, stinking, defiled sinner. And they make their way to Jesus and sit near him. Ooh, I like that. I like that. Imagine. Imagine if in this first service today, there was a prostitute from Holt Avenue or Mission Avenue that made her way into this building. She was cold, half naked, mini skirt up to her neck, walks in this place, shivering in the corner. You know what? She's supposed to mistake us for Jesus. She's supposed to walk in here looking like that, looking around and saying, gosh, I'm a little underdressed, but these people seem to be in love with Jesus. Who is this one that they're talking about, this Jesus? I need to know this Jesus that they're speaking about. If that were to happen in this church, then it's proof positive evidence that Jesus is here. If somebody were to say, woman, get out of here, you're half naked. No, listen, if Jesus were here, if that type of woman came into this place, the women of this church would probably make their way over to her and say, you look cold, and would help her be bundled up and say, are you okay? You want some coffee? That's Jesus, you guys. And that's needed. And that's important. And I have to end. Here's the final thing. It's verse 7. It endures. This is very comforting. Finding him who is altogether faithful. He is faithful to endure. He's faithful to endure. My friends, listen. The word means this. To remain or to be present. Oh, I like it. To tarry close behind us. To remain with us. To be within reach of us, to abide or stay near to us. When I think of that word, this sounds silly, but I'll never forget it. Love endures all things. When I think of that word, I'll never forget the Saturday, the weather, the way everything looked. When my oldest daughter, Rebecca, when she was learning how to ride a bike, we've all done this, have we not? When you've got your kid getting on the bike, and it's training wheels, and then training wheels come off. When the training wheels are on, you're watching your kid from 200-300 feet away, or yards, or you don't even care. They have training wheels. Just go. But what happens on the day that you take the training wheels off? Listen, you take those wheels off, and you put her on there, and you grab the back of the seat, right? And you run. Well, first you walk and you hold it. You're actually kind of holding it up totally. And then you can feel them kind of start. And look, I'm interested, but as soon as I feel that she's got the balance, and then you start to feel the bike pull on your fingers to pull away from you. She's leaving you. What do you do now? Oh my goodness. Immediately your heart rate goes up because two things are happening. Number one, you're very concerned. And number two, you're running now. Right? Your eyes that were once open are now wide open. And your care has gone up tenfold because you've let go of the seat. And so you're running right along, and then on top of it, you're saying, you can do it. I'm right here. I'm right behind you. I'm watching you, right? You're never more close than you are after you've let go. That's the word where God says, my love endures all the things you must go through. I am there. And so listen, church, if you were last week, if you were happy and content and there were no problems, he's with you in all things. But if this week news has brought you terror and you're petrified, oh my goodness, see yourself from this time forward. He's closer now if it's possible for him to be closer. It's not possible, but he's always close. But his care for you is transmitted to you now that his eyes are wide open. His hands have never been closer. He's right behind your bike. And that's good. Isaiah 43 verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. And when you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. How in the world does that happen? Nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. That means he takes us through. We look at earthly things and think that they have all power. They don't have all power. This message, I believe right now, as I've reported to you each week lately, is being believed on more for those who are in the Sudan today and in Egypt today, because Christians are dying wholesale. While our State Department mentions nothing about the murder of thousands of Christians. And they want to talk about civil rights. It's okay to talk about civil rights. It's okay to talk about freedom. But you'll never hear them talk about the defense of Christians at the end of a sword in Egypt or at the end of a noose in Sudan. They're only killing Christians. Who cares? We're not of this world. And nor should we expect this world to care for us. We're of heaven. And our God cares for us. And Jesus said, imagine those today dying in Egypt for being a Christian. Matthew 10, 22, and you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but he who endures to the end will be saved. That is true today for those who are dying. They are enduring to the end, and Jesus is right behind their bicycle like never before. John 16, 33, we're almost done. These things I've spoken to you that in me you will have peace, but in the world you'll have tribulation. Be of good cheer because I've overcome the world. And that's very, very comforting news. We look at our God who is altogether humble, consistent, pure. He's faithful. He's the love of our lives. And finding him is finding everything.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio. In a study that takes a look at 1 Corinthians 13, verse 7, Finding the Love of Your Life, that's the title of our four-part series, taken from this section of Paul's letter. And we'll continue with more of Pastor Jack's series through 1 Corinthians on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Okay, it's Friday, my favorite portion of the week, because I get to drag Pastor Jack into the studio for another edition of Ask Pastor Jack. You ready for this, Pastor Jack?
I hope so.
All right, here it is. Here's the question. This one comes from DH. He says, Hello, Pastor Jack. I have a quick question for you about the Vera chip. I want to know what you think about it. DH goes on to say, I heard from one pastor who said that if anyone puts this in their flesh, then he or she will go to hell. We're going to heaven because of our Lord Jesus Christ, but do you think that people will go to hell because they put the chip inside themselves? Is this really biblical? He signs it, Very Confused, DH. Pastor Jack, I got to admit, I'm kind of confused too. What can you tell us about the Vera chip?
Yeah, it was created by a corporation called Applied Digital Solutions. It's been around for a long time, but that's not the point. The point is that, and I don't know how many people are going to be able to handle this, because I remember, Davey, sitting in church in the early days of technology when we came out, for example, with electronic funds transfer, EFT transfers, where you could move money from one bank account to another bank account,
right.
Or you could move your paycheck to your bank without getting a check. It was deposited by your company. And I remember Christians
pretty much freaking out that this was one step closer to the mark of the beast. I remember hearing that credit cards have a hologram on it, that credit cards now have a magnetic strip in the card, and people began to push back, panicking that this was mark of the beast. Let me go so far as to say this. I do not believe that the VeriChip or any other type of implementation of a tracking or a enumeration type of a device is the mark of the beast. This may go on for many, many years.
Yeah.
Although I hope Jesus comes back today.
Right.
But let's remember something. There's going to be an advancement of technology to the point where we will be in a culture that is cashless.
Mm-hmm.
That cashless culture may precede the advent of the Antichrist for 10 months mm-hmm. or 10 years or 100 years.
Yeah.
Again, I pray Jesus comes back today for the church. What we need to be careful about is panicking. Look, we have many special op military personnel who, for example, and I've met some of them, who have a chip implanted in their body.
No kidding.
For, yeah.
I didn't know that.
For CIA tracking
yeah,
purposes, deployment purposes.
Yeah.
These are secret things. These guys don't make this known. But to those who are hearing me right now that are in that higher end of the military, they know what I'm talking about.
Right.
And some of them are Christians. They did not accept the mark of the beast by doing this. You've got to accept a prefix.
Right.
The prefix will be 666.
Mm-hmm.
Read it carefully, Revelation 13.
Mm-hmm.
You've got to receive the number of his name. It appears that it's going to be an add-on to an already existing system.
Okay.
You will not be able to buy or sell, the book of Revelation says, during the tribulation period unless you have this prefix of 666, then some number, maybe it's your social security number, maybe it's some account. You will have to willfully accept that mark. By accepting 666, the number, the mark, or the image of the beast, by the way, read Revelation 13. There are three items or three options of your accepting his rule, his reign.
Mm-hmm.
You will willfully have to do that. No one will be tricked into doing that. You will willfully pledge allegiance to the rule of the Antichrist.
Right.
No one's going to be fooled. And so, listen, DH, I'm sorry that you've been troubled by this. Frankly, you were told wrong.
Okay.
And listen, let's keep this ever before us. Things may get very, very bad for us as Christians before we go up. It doesn't have to, but it could.
Yeah.
But just know this. It is theologically firm based upon the book of Daniel chapter 9 and other portions of Scripture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, for example, that the rapture of the church will take place before the advent of 666. This is vital.
Okay.
This is very important.
Right.
And the Bible's clear on this. So, DH, I want you to be encouraged. I want you to be excited. Know this. Whoever accepts the mark of the beast during the tribulation period, that offer will come to them then. It will come to them in such a way that they will willfully submit to his lordship, to his reign. So, my friend, you are nowhere near that. And if somebody comes out today with an implantable chip, you are not accepting the mark of the beast. That is just...
So it's not something that you'll be surprised when
no,
it happens.
You will. You just as we say today, Lord Jesus, come into my life.
Right.
I submit to you as Lord and King. I accept you as my Lord and Savior.
Mm-hmm.
That is a willful decision. Okay. The offer that Satan will give to the world will be the same.
Okay.
It will be a willful decision. That's why the Bible says all those who don't accept the mark during the tribulation period, they're going to be beheaded, the Bible says.
Mm-hmm.
Read Revelation. Those who do not accept the mark of the beast, that means they had the choice.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to say no.
Yeah.
They will be beheaded for not bowing to the dictatorship of the Antichrist.
Ask Pastor Jack. Send your question to askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. askpastorjack@realradioactive.org. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.